Welcome back to the Nature Stories podcast. I'm Samantha Brown. This week, the desire to belong to a place when there's no one place you consider home. This podcast is curated by Atlantic Public Media in collaboration with the Nature Conservancy and the Public Radio Exchange. This week's piece comes from Stories from the Heart of the Land, the public radio series about the connection between people and the natural world. Here's series host Jay Allison to tell you more.
People tend to ask each other where they're from. It's generally an easy enough question to answer, but not for Sky Road. Her father was in the military. Her parents were divorced, one living on each coast. She lived longer in boarding school than anywhere else. She doesn't feel a dependence on place, but she'd sure like to.
Let's just say rooted is not in my vocabulary. And yet it's one of the things I want most. To have a place that's home, to have a place where I feel like I belong, to be tugged by and tied to this patch of land that holds your heart and your feet like a magnet. I hear about it, I see it, but I want to feel it. After college, I joined the Peace Corps and headed off to Papua New Guinea. When we flew into the capital city, I saw these grass huts that were punctuation marks on the landscape. I saw huge gardens dug into the hillsides all around the airport. I learned quickly that there are two things that dominate life in Papua New Guinea, family and land. Think of them as a DNA-like double helix. It weaves through every aspect of life. The family members with more provide for those without, and that expectation is always there. Land, it gives you everything you need, a place to live, food from the gardens, and something to pass on to the next generation. I'm still trying to decode the double helix of my own life, so dropping into this rootedness was quite an education. I spent my first 5 weeks living with a family in a small village. I slept in a tiny grass hut, I bathed in a creek, used a pit toilet. I ate almost all of my food from the garden, and my feet were always, always dirty. My name in Kabiufa village is Sivirito, after the grandmother in my homestay family. When I arrived, I only spoke English, and she only spoke the local language, or talk place. We met somewhere in the middle, over chunks of pidgin English and the yellow sweet potato cooked in the ashes of her fire. One night at the end of my stay, I told Sivirito that once I returned to the U.S., I wouldn't go back to the place I grew up like people in Papua New Guinea do. Instead, I'd go wherever I could get a job. When I looked over at Sivirito, she was crying. I came to Papua New Guinea with all these assumptions about poverty and what I could do to give back, but that didn't matter to her. She pitied me. She thought I was poor because I didn't have the one thing that's a given there, land. In Papua New Guinea, most land is not privately owned the way we think about it in the U.S., but a person's place, the village where he was born and raised, is both his backbone and his birthright. In a way, the land owns him.
It's a sense of belonging.
Yat Paul works with a nonprofit in Papua New Guinea. He tells me land is a form of social security, but it's not the kind we're used to in the U.S.
Every person in Papua New Guinea belongs somewhere, and we have that connection with our land. And being a member of my clan and tribe and family, we own the land together.
It's hard for me to imagine living this kind of life in America. Both my parents rent apartments. They're from regions, southwestern Connecticut, southern California. But I don't feel that same sense of homecoming when I see the houses where they grew up. And they don't have gardens. In most parts of Papua New Guinea, the men own the land and the women work it. They tend acres of crops, football fields worth. They weed and plant and harvest many of the same foods that we're used to. Banana, broccoli, cabbage, corn, potato, passion fruit, pineapple, mango, sugarcane, and cow-cow. That's sweet potato. It's a staple food in the highlands.
The time people don't make him good, not plant him. I'm been on a carry.
Jenny Venipo is my mama, even though she's a few years younger than me. She taught me how to dig peanuts and prepare garden greens and scrape a fresh coconut. She's standing barefoot in her garden, planting cow-cow, and talking with a few women from the village.
This let me make him mountain cow-cow.
She says, I'm making mountains for the cow-cow. It's not too much work. You just have to clean the grass out and plant the mountains. Put some sweet potato leaves inside, and then the cow-cow will come up. Once I finished my Peace Corps training and settled into my new village, I decided I wanted to plant a garden. I figured it would be easy. I mean, I've never seen soil so fertile, not even in California's Central Valley. You could spit out a seed and it would sprout in Papua New Guinea. So I spent 8 hours one Saturday pulling grass and weeds out of this patch of ground that I picked. I turned the soil and planted two long rows of bok choy and cabbage. My neighbor Sekio planted a garden on the other end of the yard at the same time. He sprinkled goat poop everywhere. I didn't. So within weeks, Sekio's garden was growing really well. The corn stalks were coming up and getting tall, and the plants actually looked happy, if you can imagine that. My garden, not so much. Sekio would look at it and he'd laugh at me. Ayo, garden belong you emi bugger up, he'd say. Your garden's buggered up. Yet another example of my inability to be a fit meri, or strong woman, by Papua New Guinea standards. Now I share a yard with my neighbors in a quiet LA suburb. It's tucked up against the mountains. It's not ours, but we inhabit it. We plant flowers and herbs. We pick avocados and apricots and lemons from the trees. It's as close to owning land as I'm going to come anytime soon, given the cost of California real estate and the size of my student loans. And I'm okay with that for now. Still, 8 years after the first time I touched ground in Papua New Guinea, I have to admit that I miss Kabiufa Village. I'm not of that land, and I never will be. But there's a little bit of me sunk into that rich black soil. I may not have a map in my head of whose garden is whose and where the boundaries are, but I understand life there. In Papua New Guinea, your place is as much a part of you as your parents' blood is. Ground emi life. Ground is life. I can translate the words to English, but I'm still learning how to translate that sense of belonging.
Sky Road has since moved into the city of Los Angeles. Next, she tells us she's on her way to India.
That piece was made for Atlantic Public Media series Stories from the Heart of the Land, produced by Jay Allison and Emily Botine. The music was composed and performed by Bill Frizzell. The Nature Stories podcast is produced with support from the Nature Conservancy, committed to protecting nature and preserving life. If you'd like more information on the series or the podcast, go to nature.org/stories and send us your thoughts and feedback to podcast@tnc.org. From Woods Hole, Massachusetts, I'm Samantha Brown.